There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, and there you have it. There you go. With the qualifying.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 986, April 3rd, 2023. Nasser.
Thanks, mate. I say welcome to the start of the FIA Formula One Grand Prix in Australia, and welcome to the end of the NASCAR Australian Grand Prix. Ahahu, back to you.
Thank you, Nasser. On tonight's program, La Fédération Internationale de l'Automobile must stop the manipulation of Formula One races. Most drivers are convinced this was a classic competition caution red flag plural. LCH wants to rekindle his love and rivalry with El Machismo. And Fernando, after hearing that, suddenly breaks up with his girlfriend. I'm telling you, it's crazy out there, folks. And this week's special interview, a beautiful race driver Lindsay Brewer, driving in the USF Pro 2000 series. And NAS will have more on that, of course. And quickly, I need to remind everybody that, yes, we do need your contributions, tiny ones. We take all currencies. And this helps keep the program up on the servers. Please click on the Support F1 Weekly tab. You know deep down you want to. Nasser, we have Chaos. We have, I don't know, Don Adams is now running the show over at the FIA. What in the world is going on?
Well, where do we start? Formula One turned upside down in land down under. And I'm thinking, it was reported that Michael Massey was seen in the paddock. So what do you expect? But on a positive note, over 130,000 fans showed up on Sunday for round three, and our man on the spot was the original JV, mate Jason Bentley. I thank him for sending me a report and photographs, which we will share on our website this week. And Mr. Rogers, what an incredible start. Who would have thought Mercedes running 1-2 on the opening lap, George Russell passing Max on the very first corner, and then LCH also slipped by Mighty Max. The winner from last year in Australia, Mr. Charles Leclerc, was out on the opening lap after making contact with Lance Stroll. And as DC said on the telecast, Leclerc thought Stroll was invisible, placing the blame fully on the Ferrari driver, and Mr. Karma, Julian Palmer, totally agreed with DC. Now, before we get into the chaos, there are two things to note here. First, with the resources, depth of engineering, and technical know-how, the silver, now black arrows, will return to winning races and championships in the near future. Hopefully, that future will be in 2023. And second, no matter how talented a driver is, nobody walks on water. Competition can and will catch up. It's part of the game we enjoy so much. And this event, sir, was worth waking up at 1 a.m. Florida time. And I was in Orlando for another karting event. So I got up and then very, very surprised at the beginning of the race. And then towards the end, what a flipping fiasco, like I was watching a NASCAR event. What are we going to have next time? A 58-lap race taking 64 laps to produce a winner. And our man, three-time world champion Nelson Piquet, once called full course yellow situation to like creating artificial excitement. And it was, as we all know by now, the Piquet, championship winning Piquet, sure knows what he's talking about. This made for TV audience drama is absolutely ridiculous in my humble opinion. Whatever happened to cleaning up the track, remove the car, and if time and laps run out under a caution, and if a Red Bull takes win, so be it. What goes around comes around. As we have seen, the great Indy 500 has finished under a caution more than once, and so has the Belgian Grand Prix at Spa not too long ago. This is Formula One at Albert Park. This is not NASCAR at Tinsley Park. And Mr. Rogers, before we do a quickie on Colley, let's hear the rage of Rogers on this late race soap opera.
I am confused and bewildered at what's really going on in the central office of the FIA, and to have Massey reported to be there in the paddock. LCH is ignoring him, does not want to have anything to do with him. He is in the cone of silence. But I don't know what to say. I mean, the first red flag was so ridiculous. I mean, I just don't know what happened. In the old days, there'd be a couple of marshals telling the cars to go around the debris. There'd be a couple of guys sweeping it up. And then, you know, we'd resume racing. It would take maybe one lap. But now, I think, I don't know. There's a big red button that throws that red flag. And these people want red flags. I don't know who's infiltrated the FIA, but I'm telling you, they need a complete overhaul. I've asked for an overhaul last year. Where are the testicles at the FIA? This is racing, boys, not tiddlywinks. So it's quite frustrating. I mean, and it's super frustrating. I mean, a lot of people lucked out. Fernando lucked out, sort of. I mean, I don't know. I have no idea what was going on those last two laps. It was made for TV. I felt like we were watching the Dukes of Hazzard meet Formula One.
Well, you know, one thing I will say in FIA's defense, no matter what they do, they're not going to please everybody. But this is like really becoming a freak show. I mean, obviously, we cannot go back to the days when a car is burning upside down and the race is going on. We've seen that in the Dutch Grand Prix in 1973 and 1973. And we've seen what happened in Monte Carlo in 1967. So obviously, we cannot go back to those days. And they were saying, oh, a lot of, kitty litter came on the track when Alex Albon's lost control, which is true. But like you said, they can bring a few people and get this thing cleaned up, and they can do a safety car or a virtual safety car or whatever they need to do. But to throw a red flag after another, then they don't know what the decision will be. It's just like, and I'm watching this 1 o'clock in the morning. I don't need a 16-minute break for some steward from Tonga and Congo and Bulgaria and Botswana to decide, or wherever they come from. They always have a diversified crowd there. But this has been going on for quite a while. And I would say things have gotten much better than what they were. You know, you touch a car, you get a... And you know, this penalty on Sainz, I mean, like you said, this is racing. I think if something like that happens and Alonso was able to continue, no need for a penalty. I mean, you know, these are big boys. You know, what goes around comes around. So I don't even think that if two guys touch and both are able to continue, then no harm, no foul. I mean, this sport has become just totally over-regulated, commercially driven. And it's just... But then again, you have to understand Mr. Rogers. Guys like you and I and most of our listeners who are in our age group, we're a vanishing breed. The new generation wants action. They want action now. And we're dealing with, what, Nintendo generation and Xbox generation. So we're the big losers. You know, we've lost the sound, which was the beauty of motor racing for me, and now this kind of nonsense. But, you know, it was a race. There was a result, and we move on. Shall we?
We shall. I just want to mention a couple of things. You know, you mentioned about the science penalty. Don't they understand the big penalty? We used to call it the Paul Tracy penalty. That's when science is going to have to face and machismo and go, Dude, I'm sorry. Don't hit my face. It's beautiful. You see what I'm saying? You know, in the old days, you had to face the drivers. That was the penalty. So maybe we should go back to maybe a little more machismos, more testicular, more, I don't know. But this is, we've gone off track. We've lost our focus. And that's my key word today, ladies and gentlemen. It's focus. Why can't we get back to just, what did Massey call it? Toto. It's just a motor race.
Okay, so now we switch gear to Quali. Harum scarum in the closing stages, but the Red Bull stampede continues. Max taking their first pole position in Melbourne since 2013. Pole is number 22 for Max, matching Machismo in this area. You know, there was a time, as a friend of mine, you who was a big Schumi fan, at every race, Michael Schumacher would be setting a new track record or some milestone, he would tell me. And then a few years ago, it was the same with Lewis Hamilton. And now Max is doing the same thing, which is good for him. After grabbing pole, Max was pretty clear in his intentions for the race. No hops and barley here, saying, and I quote, "I've been on the podium once, but I want to be on a different step this time," end quote. Hemi haters are loving the fact Boy George started from the front row. This is the first time Lewis has been out-qualified by a teammate in Melbourne since 2010. And Button was the man who out-qualified him that day and went on to win the race. Russell was only 0.2 of pole, while Lewis was 0.3 of Max's time, sharing row 2 with his teammate and, like you said, new lover from the 2007 season, Mr. Machismo. Now, you know, the times were very close, but, you know, I was not fooled by those times. I just knew that Max has a little bit more in reserve, which will come on display on race day. Mr. Leclerc, Monsieur Leclerc, who won the race last year, was 7th. He was over half a second slower than Mighty Max. And, you know, just like McLaren thought all the problems they had some years ago was because of Honda, till they got Renault, and oopsie, we still have the same problem. I guess Scuderia Ferrari thought the problem was Binotto. He's gone, and now they are slipping back on the slippery slope of the Italian Dolomites. It was really nice to see the Williams name in top 10, thanks to Alex Albon qualifying 8th, which I think was very, very impressive. Nico Hülkenberg made it to Q3 and qualified 10th with Haas. He qualified in the same spot for the Bahrain and Saudi Arabian Grand Prix. Both Alex and Hulk have out-qualified their respective teammates in all three races so far. In the case of Alex Albon, his teammate is American rookie Logan Sargeant. And you may ask yourself, where is Max's teammate? He was a victim of Hitco, or in other words, got Brembo'd, starting dead last. Actually, he started from the pit lane. Stranded in the kitty litter can lead to cat scratch fever. Which may cause a driver to lose the championship. Wonder if that has happened before, Mr. Rogers. Perhaps you can help me on my memory loss.
I don't have any recollection of that, sir.
Oh, I'm sorry. You have forgotten. You have just deleted the whole 2007 season. That's when it happened. Any thoughts on the qualifying, sir? Anybody impress you? Anybody did not impress you?
Well, obviously, the Mercedes, I don't know if they've been sandbagging. They've been waiting to make it more dramatic and spectacular. But obviously, they found pace. I don't know if they're going to copy Red Bull or not. But they found pace. Qualifying was very surprising. Fernando, I think, was surprised as well. And the rest of the field was surprised. Obviously, Max, when that DRS opens, he's got so much speed, it's ridiculous. And he showed that passing Hamilton and others in the race. But very interesting how all of a sudden Mercedes has exploded onto the scene. And I think they're going to be threatening, just like Lewis Hamilton said. We are in contention.
So you don't think this was just a track-specific good performance by Mercedes?
I don't think so. This track is sort of bizarre. I don't think so. I think Mercedes has shown They've made some steps forward, and we'll see what happens. But once they do copy the Red Bull aerodynamics package, which they admit they will, because we know it works for Aston Martin, they could be pretty threatening or go back to full domination. It's pretty frightening, but hey, Max, he doesn't like how things are going in F1 right now with all the sprint races and changes, so he might quit early anyway and go hang around with Nico Rosberg.
Yes. Okay, now we go to the race. As impressive as the start was by the Benz boys, to me it was only a matter of time before Max takes the lead, either through clever pit strategy or some argy-pargy. But I knew all along, once he got ahead, he will be singing the Boss Gax tune. I'll be long gone by the time you make up your mind.
I'll be long gone by the time you make up your mind.
Or change your zero sidepod concept. You must have been shocked that Mercedes won 2 in the race.
Now Max knows he's got the speed in the glove box, just idling there. So he's much more careful. You saw how dainty he was and blamed Lewis for not following the rules, which was poppycock. But he's being much more careful, having the big picture. He's thinking, let them go by. The Germans will cheer Uber Alles. And in the end, he will get them with his straight line speed. So I was shocked by Max's maturity and, of course, the speed of the Mercedes.
Yes. Now, around lap 7, George Russell radioed to his team, "My own teammate is attacking me." Little did he know what was happening behind his teammate. There was somebody who was planning on attacking both of them. George was looking good and in control as the new numero uno at Mercedes, some would say since last year, which is probably true. But Lady Luck was not kind to him. He ended up getting our famous Isaac Hayes CD in Australia, no question about it, on fire at the start and on lap 18. Very disappointing and dingo day afternoon for him. Or as your favorite Mike Massey would say, telltale, it's called a DNF. His teammate LCH also had a little taste of honey and other delights before the Dutch treat took over the party and the race. Now, this was Max's second podium. His only previous podium in Melbourne was in 2019. And I think the next race in Azerbaijan, if Mercedes can be within 0.3 of Max in practice and in race, then I will say, okay, they are coming back and they will win some races. But if they're going to qualify half a second behind Checo and 0.7 behind Max, then they will be in the, then they will need to have lunch with the Scuderia Ferrari team. That's for sure. Okay, sir, in the final analysis for the race winner, just like Kelly Piquet moved from Daniel Kvyat's side of the garage to Max's, looks like Lady Luck has moved from Lewis's side to Max's side. And I say, enjoy the ride and the championships that are now low-hanging fruit with the package and the immense overflowing talent he has. Another milestone for Max, win is number 37 and podium is number 80, same as Ayrton Senna, and he is only in his year 25. I don't think anybody is going to give him any headache this season for winning races and his third successive championship. Do you concur, sir?
I do concur, and okay, so we saw Mercedes really competitive. Well, that weekend, Toto, it's never shown on TV, but he had the briefcase. Some people call it the football. And he opened it up and he turned the knob a couple of notches. And that's why they had so much great performance. And it was a little too much. When you see a Mercedes Cablamo, you know it was pushed to the limit. So they're going to bring that back a little bit because you can't have too many Cablamos in this day and age. And Mercedes doesn't like Cablamos, period. So they did push the limit. On the other hand, George Russell believes that Red Bull is sandbagging. They are hiding pace just so the rules don't change. Sort of like at Le Mans, every year when a team is winning, they start changing the rules because that's how the French do it. But no, very interesting stuff. Watch Mercedes in Azerbaijan. I think they're going to dial it back, but they're on a roll. They want to push, so we'll see what happens. It's going to be exciting, especially, oh my God, with the FIA. Because the FIA now, you know how they say it? The audience in the NFL is the 12th man. Well, now in Formula One, the FIA is the 21st team. So you don't know what they're doing.
Yes. Now, Max's teammate Checo, Sergio Perez, started from the pit lane and finished fifth. Frankly, I was expecting him to make it to the podium. He is still second in the championship, but now 15 points behind his ever-so-helpful, kind and considerate teammate. I think Max will win more races this year than he did last year. What say you?
Well, we've lost focus, Nasser. It's all about Fernando. We have to see Fernando win a race. So therefore, I'm hoping the rivalry between Max and the competition between Max and Fernando, no, pardonnez-moi, Max and Lewis will cancel each other out, giving the win to Fernando. That's what we're all hoping for. And of course, rain, you never know. Some weird, goofy thing could happen. And the FIA, they're the new player. What kind of mood is the FIA in this race weekend? Oh my God, it's getting so complicated. And I wonder if the FIA are going to be part of, you know, the new gambling, the betting. How many red flags? Well, how stupid the decision will be. There is so much in the future, Nasser. It's just hard to even grasp.
And that's the way it goes sometimes, Mr. Rogers. That's how the cookie and the chip crumbles. Okay, sir, Hamilton, absolutely enjoying his brief moment in the lead and first podium of the season. This is 10th podium in Melbourne for Lewis Hamilton. Among the active drivers, second most podium is 5. And who could that be? Let's just say he was one step ahead of Lewis Hamilton on the podium in the 2007 Australian Grand Prix, which just happened to be Hamilton's first ever Formula One race. As Mr. Michael McDonald would say, I keep forgetting, things will never be the same again. On the team radio, LCH was sprinkling some salt and pepper. Pushy real good. Take a listen.
Mega job, guys. What an amazing result. Thank you so much. So, so proud of you all. Let's keep pushing. Let's keep pushing.
Really well done there, Lewis. Yeah, it's a long afternoon, but yeah, that's definitely deserved that result.
Well driven, Lewis. Very, very well.
Thanks, Toto.
Always under control.
And now, all rise. The judge, jury, and the executioner has arrived. The one and only El Machismo, 3 in a row podium for Nando. According to David Croft, this is the first time since the 2018 Hungarian Grand Prix that we have 3 world champions on the podium. Back then it was, surprise, surprise, Lewis on top, followed by Ferrari driver Sebastian Vettel and Kimi Raikkonen. Now, Mr. Rogers, I want to see Nando win a race, and I think he will win a race this year. But I note with interest Nando coming to the aid of his compadre, Carlos Sainz Jr., the man who put him in a spin, saying the penalty given to Carlito was harsh. I wonder if he would feel the same way if he was spun around or get spun around in one of the future races by car number 44. What say you, amigo?
Only if Lewis Hamilton can say 44, then he'd forgive him.
Okay, that's good. Nice to know. But I have to say the love and respect they have for each other is still there. And here is 2-time world champion talking about his pursuit of 7-time world champion.
On the radio telling you to push Lewis at points during that race. Did you have the pace to match the Mercedes or even catch them, do you think?
We were very similar in terms of pace. At few parts of the race, I felt that I was able to be faster than the Mercedes, but I tried to put some pressure on Lewis, but yeah, I don't know. He drove, you know, super well, and I was trying to put some pressure, but yeah, as I said, he drove like a champion he is, and with no mistakes, only one lock-up, I think, I remember, in the whole race in 10-13, so it was impossible to get close, and, you know, he deserved P2. We take P3, and hopefully next time we try to qualify in front of them, because in race pace, I think we are very, very similar.
As far as the contact with Carlos went, and the incident with Carlos, what did you make of that and the penalty he was given afterwards for it? Was that fair?
Probably harsh. You know, I think in lap one, no one wants to really have any contact. But when we do formation laps, especially after the safety car, the tires are very cold. So you ended up in difficult places. But yeah.
We move on to Carlos Sainz Jr. on lap 26. Mini Machismo did a Mansell on Piquet at Silverstone move on Pierre Gasly to grab fourth. I'm going to the left. No, I'm passing you on the right. Very, very impressive. Sir, did you like that move?
Very exciting. Very, very Machismo, almost.
Yes, the smooth operator dialed the team after the race was over and was not happy about the penalty he got for spinning compadre. And I heard on the post-race show that he was almost crying, and they say in a song, Big Boys Don't Cry, 10cc. So I had to go to YouTube, and I would like to share this with our F1 Weekly Familia, how Carlito, how disappointed he was. Take a listen, please.
Please, guys, do something, please. I cannot still believe it. We are P3 and P4, and they will put me out of the points for that. For a one-lap incident. So unfair. I cannot believe they do this to me.
It's clear, Carlos. It's clear. Let's finish that race and we discuss here.
But let me at least discuss with the stewards in the stewards room.
Of course, we'll go and see them just after you get out of the car.
Now we come to his teammate, Charles Leclerc. What a difference a year makes. In 2022, Monsieur Monaco won the Australian Grand Prix by 20 seconds. In 2023, he was out on the opening lap after contact with Lance Stroll. He is now 63 points behind Max, which means arrivederci to the Championato after only 3 races. With such a huge deficit, the only way Prancing Horse can gallop ahead of Max is if there is a complete Chernobyl-style meltdown at Red Bull with their GP2 engine, which most likely will not be happening. He said after the race it was the worst start to the season. This is his second retirement of the season and has left him with 6 points, a Ferrari driver with 6 points, same as Haas driver Hülkenberg. And last year when he won the Australian Grand Prix, he had, I'm sure you remember, over a 40-point lead on Max in the championship, and everybody was celebrating that we're going to have a Ferrari world champion soon. And then Max said, one moment, please. And speaking of Nico Hülkenberg, once again, close call, but no Havana cigar for the Hulk. The ex-Renault and Williams driver finished fourth. Haas F1 took their case to FIA, hoping to get their driver's first podium. The German driver would have been classified third if the FIA had used the standings from after the restart for the final lap. The FIA did not do this because, according to them, the grid from before the restart was the last possible moment to determine the standings. You know, they go back if they stop a race one lap behind. Haas went into protest over this, but the protest was rejected by FIA. I have to say this, given the performance of the team, their team principal, Gunter Steiner, does get a lot of press time, and I don't have a problem with that. I'm just sharing an observation. Do you agree on that, sir?
Yes, but it's good press time. It's entertaining. They're the underdog, and we all love the underdog. And not only that, but they're the double underdog. Deep down, Hülkenberg in P4 was so close to the podium, yet so far. And we've got to get Hülkenberg on the podium. I am going to start a petition to get Hülkenberg on the podium, damn it. Somebody, it's got to happen this year because it might never happen. So that's the whole thing for me.
Hülkenberg on podium would be a very good story, and I think everybody will be happy for him, and especially coming in a Haas. That will be a wonderful achievement for him and also for the team. But I can think of one guy who will not be happy. You know who that is.
Yes. Yes. Something about lollipops.
Yes. Okay, now we come to local lad, Oscar Piastri. Sunday, believe it or not, Sunday was the first time he raced a single-seater in his home country. And he is from Melbourne because he has been living in England and racing in, I should say, Europe since he was 14 years old. He celebrated with a Vegemite pastry by scoring points in his first home Grand Prix, just like his manager, Mr. Mark Webber. And good thing for Zach Brown, his teammate was also in the points. Anything you want to add, sir, among the points finisher or any other driver? Oh, we have to talk about your French team, the Pink Panthers. This had to happen. I mean, we've been saying this is going to happen. Okay? With them, with Haas sooner or later, and I think there will be at least one civil war between the Red Bull drivers. But the Pink Panther did not surprise. It not did not happen the way I thought it would, but still going off track, coming back, and then getting into a schmazzle with your teammate, Otmar Szafnauer, was not too thrilled. What's your take on this, sir?
Well, it's actually been a lot gentler over there than I thought. Szafnauer has done a really good job in managing these two guys. It was the circumstances. It was the red flags. It was that ridiculous restart. There's a limit. And circumstance. I mean, the chaotic, that chaotic last two laps was just ridiculous, and I agree. But you have to give it to the two French drivers. Because they were French, they had a lot of style when they crashed, and they were able to park the cars on the grass very symmetrically just for good photographs and art.
That's good. Pretty in pink. That's nice. Okay, sir. The championship, Max leading the way with 69 points. Checo is second with 54. Third is El Machismo on 45. And you know, this is interesting. Apart from Max, Machismo is the only other hombre to be on the podium in all three races so far this season. So he is knocking, but Red Bull is saying, I hear you knocking, but you can't come in.
Bum, 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 bum. Yeah, I hear you knocking, but you can't come in. Bum, 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 bum.
Yes, so I think this guy will sooner or later get a win this year, and I would love to see that happen. In the Constructors' Championship, Red Bull head and shoulders above the rest with 123 points. Second place is Aston Martin, wow, with 65 points. Mercedes third with 56, Ferrari next 426, and McLaren completing the top five with 12 points from three races. Can you believe that?
It's unbelievable. And what really blows my mind is Lawrence Stroll. You know, he threw a lot of money at this. I mean, a lot of money, especially getting Fernando Alonso and Más Macho del Mundo. And listen, with this kind of success, all of a sudden his value has skyrocketed. I mean, he just sits at home and he just makes money. It just spills everywhere. And now three podiums, the points, they're going to get millions because they're doing well. I am very impressed with Aston Martin. Very impressed. They are going to do good, especially now that they have Fernando. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think Sebastian Vettel just had bad timing.
Yes. Okay, sir, before we take a break, just want to talk a little bit about Melbourne moments. 1996, first race in Albert Park saw a dramatic F1 debut for Jacques Villeneuve, who started from pole position. It was on the opening lap of this race that the Benson and Hedges Jordan of Martin Brundle went ballistic after being hit by the Tyrrell of Mika Salo in a crash triggered by DC's McLaren. JV's Williams teammate Damon Hill ended up winning two Australian Grand Prix in less than 4 months, as the 1995 Australian Grand Prix was the final race of the season and was also won by Damon Hill. And your favorite, Lewis Hamilton, has the most pole positions in Albert Park, 8. And most wins is Michael Schumacher, 4. Max Verstappen has just taken his first one. And I think there will be second next year. And by the 2026 rule changes, he probably will have 3 wins and, I don't know, 5 championships. Do you really see anybody toppling him for the championship before the rule changes?
Not really. I mean, as long as Red Bull keep going, but I don't know. There's something brewing in the air. We still haven't seen the big Perez-Max fight in the back of the garage. We still haven't seen Lewis explode because he's being outqualified by his little buddy. There's a lot of things bubbling, and it's going to be wonderful. Now, we do have a good interview on this podcast, and that would be with Lindsay Brewer. Do you want to bring her in to the studio, Nasser?
We can do that interview before we go into Motorsports Mondial. And this conversation took place at Sebring, where she was competing in the USF Pro 2000 Series. And she is a quick young lady, originally from Colorado, and now she's living in Southern California. And we wish her all the best and thank her for the time. So please enjoy this conversation, and we shall return with Motorsports Mondial.
Okay, folks, I'm here at Sebring with one fast lady, Miss Lindsay Brewer. Lindsay, good to meet you again. How are you today, and how has the session gone so far?
Hi, thanks for having me. To be honest, not feeling the best. I'm pretty sick going into this weekend. I think I might have the flu. So, you know, overall, I feel like I'm pushing through it and I feel good, but definitely a little bit more challenging this weekend for sure.
I understand you discovered karting at a birthday party. What has been the main attraction in racing for you? The thrill of speed or beating the boys at their own game?
I think a bit of both. I just love the competition aspect of it. I love the speed and, yeah, just the feeling that you get when you're competing with others, and the thrill of the car and the speed is really something else.
What was the reaction of mom and dad when you told them you wanted to pursue racing on a serious basis?
I think that it was a little bit of a mix of emotions. They both were super supportive, but they also made me go to college. They made me get my degree, which I don't regret now. I think it was awesome. I got my business degree. So then I told them, I'm like, no, I'm going to continue to pursue this. And then they were very supportive. They just told me I had to find my own sponsors.
Okay. You won a regional karting championship in your first year of racing. Very impressive. Were you surprised success came so quickly, and what were some of the high moments for you?
Yeah, I mean, it was really cool winning the regional championship my first year. Didn't expect it at all, but I think I just had a natural talent for it as a kid, and I was able to just use that, and I just did my best and beat all the boys.
In 2015 and 16, you won the Legend Semi-Pro Championship. Please tell our listeners a little bit about these cars and tracks they race on and your success.
Yeah, so I just did the Road Course Legend Car Series out in Vegas and won overall in points, but I didn't race the actual last race. So I technically didn't get crowned championship, but I won overall in points. So it was really cool. Those cars are like basically bigger go-karts, and they're really small, a lot of fun. There's a lot of bumping around in them. So I feel like it's kind of an introduction to NASCAR. A lot of the times they run on ovals, but I just did the road course series. But it was a lot of fun, and it was really good to learn racecraft, you know.
Well, that brings me to my next question. You prefer racing cars turning right and left. Explain your choice, since oval racing is very grassroots Americana.
Wait, could you repeat that? I'm sorry.
Why do you prefer road racing compared to oval racing?
I think I just prefer it, just coming from a karting background. A lot of the times karters enjoy road courses just because it's what they're used to, but definitely not opposed to learning to drive ovals better and doing more oval races. But yeah, so far I just feel a bit more comfortable on road courses.
Okay. This is your second year in U.S. Formula Pro 2000. What is the game plan for the season, and what kind of results will make you happy at the end of the season?
Yeah, so I kind of consider this my first full year, almost like my rookie year, because last year we did just a couple races, a partial season, and it honestly was just learning, because I made a big jump up from touring cars to the USF Pro 2000 car, and this year, now I consider it like, okay, this is my first full season, let's go. If I can get some top 10s, that'd be great. The field this year is extra competitive, even to last year's field, so a lot of good competition out there, and if I can get some solid results, top 10s, I mean, hopefully a top 5 in there, that'd be great.
Do you have a driver coach?
No, I work closely with my engineer and teammates, but it's something to consider. I think I should get a driver coach.
Okay, nice blend of road courses, street circuits, and ovals in American racing. Is there a particular type of circuit where you feel more comfortable?
Yeah, I think, again, I feel most comfortable on a road course, especially ones that are very smooth, like IMS or Portland. Sebring out here is very bumpy, so, again, a lot to learn out here, but it's a lot of fun.
Okay. Are you friends with Sabra Cook, and have you ever reached out to her or Danica Patrick or Lynn St. James for advice and guidance?
Yeah, I grew up with Sabra. I would stay at her house all the time, and we're both from Colorado, so I consider her a bit like an older sister. She's great, and yeah, definitely someone I admire as a person. She's awesome.
Yeah, she's in the Porsche Cup now.
Yeah.
Okay. Where would you like to see your career in 5 years?
Ideally, I'd be racing IndyCar. You know, that's the goal. So if I could be up there at the top level of motor racing in the U.S., that would be great, IndyCar.
And in Formula One, do you have a favorite driver and a team?
I would say Ferrari's my favorite team. My favorite driver, either Lewis Hamilton or Charles Leclerc, just because I love Ferrari. It's great.
Okay, you said you're from Colorado, but now living in Southern California. Question is, do you ever go walking in L.A.?
Do I walk in L.A.? No. I live about an hour south of L.A., and, you know, I don't really walk. L.A.'s not a very walkable city.
Oh, that was a joke because of the song.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I have one request for you. First of all, do you have a message for our listeners? We have listeners all over the world.
Yeah, I would just say if there's anything you want to do in life, if you have setbacks, it doesn't matter. You can do anything you set your mind to, even if it seems like a large uphill battle. Never quit. There was a time I thought I wouldn't be racing, and I kept my mind to it, and here I am, and I'm always going to keep pushing, and you can do it too. So, yeah.
And your social media, so they can follow your career?
Yeah, it's at Lindsay Marie Brewer on Instagram, and Lindsay M. Brewer TikTok, and Lindsay M. Brewer on Twitter.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Lindsay, thanks for joining F1Weekly.com, and we'll be back after these brief messages from the archive.
Okay, for our first interview, this is a short interview with Sebastian Vettel. I was behind the paddock, checking out the drivers come in, hoping to talk to somebody, and I saw a young Sebastian Vettel walking up with one of the crew from BMW, and nobody seemed to recognize him. And I took a couple of pictures, and then all of a sudden everybody saw me taking his picture and rushed us. But I was able to get my recorder out and ask him a few questions, nothing too specific. I don't know if it was his PR person or what have you sort of said, we need to move on. So just a short interview with Sebastian Vettel. Sebastian, a few questions for F1Weekly.com. F1Weekly.com. How was the car handling yesterday?
Not so bad. I mean, still you try to improve, but I think the base is not so bad.
No, you look pretty good. Do you expect to do well today?
I mean, no expectations. Completely new for me. So
And any issues with the handling in the infield? Compared to the long straights?
Yeah, you try to find the right compromise between having enough speed on the straight and still feel, oh, this is the wrong camp. Having enough speed on the straight.
Do you enjoy doing going through the bank?
Thank you. Yes, first time I was
pretty exhilarating.
Yeah, but after you get used to it, and thank you. It's big fun. Good luck.
Are the German press having a field day with this?
Sorry?
I heard you're the next Schumacher.
I mean, you know, Michael was
yours too?
The best driver of his time, and compare me or anybody to him, I think you'd be wrong.
I agree. Thanks for talking to F1Weekly.com. Good luck today.
Thank you.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the King, the Sultan himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. And for the first time, the Formula 2 and Formula 3 series also travel to Melbourne, Australia. So we shall start with Formula 2, a very intercontinental podium in the sprint race on Saturday. Winner was Red Bull Junior from Norway, Dennis Hauger. Second was another Red Bull Junior from Dallas, Texas, Jack Crawford, also known as Jetpack. Third man on the podium was Indian racer Kush Maini. And I think Red Bull has like 5 or 6 drivers in Formula 2 this season. Sunday's feature race winner from pole position, Japanese Red Bull driver Ayumu Iwasa. Theo Pourchaire, supported by a Sauber team, was second, with Charles Leclerc's brother Arthur third. Late in the race, there were a couple of cars hitting the wall, including Enzo Fittipaldi. And listen to this compared to the Formula One race. Despite heavy machinery equipment on the track, the race was not red flag. So I guess 2 different safety standards for 2 different series under the same umbrella. Interesting. Formula 3 winner on track in race 1 is singing Don't Cry For Me Argentina. Franco Colapinto took the checkered flag first, followed by Zach O'Sullivan and Sebastian Montoya. But all 3 cars from, I think his team is MP Motorsports, they were disqualified for technical infringement, so new winner is Zach O'Sullivan. According to the FIA, the outer edges of the keel had been modified and in doing so, widened and cut, which goes against the regulation. Sunday's feature race winner was Brazilian Gabriel Bortoleto. Swiss driver Gregor Sossi was second, and Gabriel Mini, young man from Sicily and managed by Nicola Tost, he was third man on the podium. In the championship, Gabriel Bortoleto from Brazil leads with 58 points, Sossi is second, 38 points, and Swedish driver Dino Beganovic is third with 32 points. I will be surprised if Dino Beganovic does not win the championship. Team championship, top 2 teams are Italian base, Triton on 100 points, leading Prema Racing, which is the real powerhouse in European junior formula racing now. They are second on 72 points, and UK-based Hi-Tech Racing is on 58 points. Okay, IndyCar racing from Texas Motor Speedway near Dallas-Fort Worth. Swedish cat Felix Rosenquist on pole. Joseph Newgarden, man from Tennessee and driving for Penske, was the winner. Romain Grosjean hit the Texas wall of voodoo late in the race. Did you see any of this action, sir?
No, sir. I was driving on a beautiful day in California.
In which French car, sir?
The 67 Porsche.
That's good. Okay, now we come to Argentina for MotoGP. Marquez in pole, not Mark, but his brother Alex. Saturday sprint race at the Termas Rio Hondo was a doozy. What a race, man. South African Brad Binder sprinted like a springbok from 15th on the grid to victory. In 12 laps, he picked up, I think, like 12 places. That was just on the opening lap. And I watched this thing and I just couldn't believe how he was going on his Austrian KTM machine, which, of course, is sponsored by Red Bull. Sunday's feature event in the rain was won by Italian Marco Bezzecchi on a Ducati. He is riding for Valentino Rossi's VR46 team. Your French homeboy Johann Zarco was second, and completing an all-Ducati podium was pole sitter Alex Marquez. Bezzecchi leads the championship 50-41 points over fellow Italian paisan Pecco Bagnaia. And this is interesting. Race day attendance was over 180,000 motorsports crazy Argentine fans. So this is very, very good. And sir, I mentioned I was at Orlando Kart Center for a karting event, Scusa karting event, and I had the opportunity of interviewing another young fast lady. She's from Georgia. Her name is Emma Scarborough, and that interview will be coming soon. And I had a nice chat with her and Dad about her future plans. And then, you know, I could not do it the last few times I went to kart events this year. I finally said, okay, you know, just be careful. And I approached this young kid, Oliver Weldon, you know, son of Dan Weldon. And he's a very nice kid. He's 12 years old. I did an interview with him also. He's under the wings of Michael Andretti and doing very well. So both these interviews are coming up. And next week, we will feature interview with Pachito, Jose Maria Lopez of Argentina, which was recorded at the recent WEC event in Sebring. Okay, sir, now we come to Musical Mondial. The race was in Australia, and the tune today comes from Land Down Under, a path well traveled by Max these days. Thank you for listening, and please enjoy church singing under the Milky Way.
Any racing trips in your near future, Nasser?
Yes, sir. I am planning to do a lot of motorsports events because I really enjoy going to the races and talking to racing people. And Sweet Home Alabama is not too far from here, so there is a good chance I will go there. And that race is, I believe, at the end of this month. So that's the plan. And then in June, I'm going to the IndyCar race in Detroit, which is now in the city center, not on Belle Isle, thanks to Mr. Penske. And then in July, Mr. Rogers, we will be recording our 1,000 podcast from the center of Motor Racing, UK. And so I'm really, really looking forward to the next few. And sir, I'm also very happy to report our Tech Talk Tim will be representing F1 Weekly at the Long Beach Grand Prix. So I wish him all the best. Hope he has a good time. And we will wait for his report from there.
Absolutely. More people on the F1 Weekly staff. It's growing. It's getting bigger. And my goodness, the budget is just swelling. So, yes, very exciting times. We have a lot of racing this year. Keep up the good work, Nas. I certainly want to thank everybody who listens. We'll keep bringing you small snippets of archival interviews that we have because we've been around for so long. I just want everybody to enjoy this stuff. Nasser, once again, an outstanding job. I want to thank everybody who listens. Good night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Sometimes when this place gets kind of empty, sound of their breath fades with the light. I think about the loveless fascination under the Milky Way tonight. Lower the curtain down in Memphis. Lower the curtain down, alright. I got no time for private consultation under the Milky Way tonight. Wish I knew.